Hebrews 11 is the classic hall of faith, as you know, chapter in Scripture. And we find that Noah had a foreboding situation to deal with, as all those that were listed in this chapter, and all their challenges and emergencies were uniquely different. But the common denominator to all of them that were listed in this chapter, this faith chapter, the common denominator was, in fact, faith. It was faith. So whether Abraham or Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets, they were all commended for their faith. So let's look at our man Noah and how he used his faith in Hebrews 11, 7. Let's read this out loud together. Ready? Go. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Lord, bless us. Help us. Amen, amen. Something was coming onto the land. Something was declared. Noah had a heads up. So it wasn't out of the blue. He had time. There was a warning. He was given a heads up. Something is coming on the land. What did Noah do? He built. He built. He wasn't stagnant. He took opportunity. I was just reading the book of James a couple of nights ago, and it's just very clear that faith without works or faith without action is what? It's dead. So it's not in conflict to the book of Galatians. They are complementary books, but faith without works is dead. And Noah's faith was seen, manifest, and revealed through his action. He built. He built. Listen, when warned, build something. When warned, build something. When Noah was warned, he built. Human nature being what it is, when we are warned, we hide, we bunker, we shut down. That's just human wisdom, human logic. We don't want to mock that too much because it's natural. There's natural wisdom. And there's wisdom from above. And then there's the word of the Lord that trumps everything. And Noah received the word of the Lord. We need the word of the Lord in these days. We need it just doing the practical things in life. And we need to be hungry for the voice of God and to look for it. So human nature will hide, sure. Noah built. When warned, build. Now, in our day and in our current situation, do we need an ark? Do we need an ark? We don't need an ark, do we? We don't need an ark. Noah in his day did, so he built one. What do we need today? Well, I think at minimum, I would contend for all of us as a starter to build a tabernacle, a place of meeting with God, a tent of meeting, as it were. And you're familiar with that language and concept due to Moses and how he related with the Lord. And with Moses, it was a literal tent, and it was a literal meeting with God. And Israel would stand by, and they would watch their leader. They would watch Moses enter that tent, and they would watch him meet with God, and then they would watch him come out. But the point is that it is a meeting with God. It's not about the tent, it's about the meeting. So for you and I, it doesn't require that we pitch a tent in the backyard, although that'd be fun, but it does require a meeting. It requires a meeting, whether a special room, whether a special chair, a sofa, on the carpet, in the car, in your home. I want to encourage us to build a tent of meeting. Noah had his ark. We can have our tent of meeting. But it has to be built and erected. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, built. Something foreboding was coming on the land. Temptation is maybe find a cave, hide. But the word of the Lord was so imperative to him. The specificity of the word of the Lord. Even when you read about the temple. How many of y'all have ever read about what went into building a tent? That's a simple thing. But building the temple. How many of y'all have faithfully gone through all the minutiae, all the details of what was required to build Solomon's temple? Hello? I mean, dear me, is God given to detail or what? It is just, wow, ad nauseum, on and on. But it's very important to God. Do it by the design that you received. And so, he was warned, he built. Listen, by building a spiritual meeting place, we strengthen our immune system, spirit, soul, and body. And they are interconnected. They are intertwined. It's amazing how you're doing spiritually and what's going on with us emotionally can affect us physically. You know that fear lets off certain things in our body. You know, I believe that the glory of God in worship, they have done studies on the brain when there's thankfulness, for instance, and certain quadrants of the brain will light up. And there are things and there are ways to think and meditate that are commendable for our bodies. And then there are things to ponder that grip us that can affect our body. And so, speaking of immunization, there is a process by which an individual's immune system becomes fortified against outlaw foreign agents. And it is a process. And we want to push off and away the foreign agents known as an immunogen. And we can build up our spiritual immune system. I believe we can. We can build up our spiritual immune system. And we have choices. See, Noah had a choice. He had the word of the Lord, but he had a choice. And he saved his family based on his responsiveness to the choice. There was a predicament, but there was a solution. There was a warning, but there was instruction. Okay, so we're to ask God in the tent of meeting, Lord, what's your instruction? What are you saying? What are you doing? The science out there right now with coronavirus reveals that older folks with weaker immune systems are more susceptible. So the logic would play out, build up your immunities. Build up your immunities. Noah's challenge was a deluge of water coming on the earth, a flood. So building a big boat was a good idea, a great idea. He built intentionally with holy fear, not unholy fear. In other words, with urgency based on the plan of the Lord. The days were numbered. And so, in other words, he took it to heart. It was real to him. And with sobriety plus pushing off the mockery that he had to deal with daily, he built. He had a project before him. By the way, a project's a healthy thing. It's a good thing to have something to put your hand to. Amen. Something to get busy with. An action plan. Giving your life away to someone. You know, when I talked to my 86-year-old mother in Wilson, one of her biggest challenges is a lot of her friend group are getting sick and are kind of dying off. I'm like, Mom, you need to get a younger friend group, you know. And it's like, you know, I just can't believe that I don't have this friend to go see, or she's really breaking down, or et cetera, et cetera. But her secret is always finding someone to help. And here, you take your need, but yet you find someone else to help, and somehow our need gets satisfied and our cup is full. But just the shifting our thoughts and our focus away from our predicament onto someone else causes us to be strengthened and find a place of greater help. Because it's through what? Giving that we receive. That's not only a financial admonition, it's a principle that's true in any arena of life, you see. And so immunization, we define it as a process of fortification, a process of fortification. And our walk with God is, in fact, a process, and we are building it. We've got to build it, a process, but we're building it. And then this hour, fear is not the answer. Faith is the answer, and faith builds something. So I guess our question in these days that we're in right now, what are we building? What are we, in light of everything we hear around us, what therefore are we building? What therefore are we doing? What are we building? What are we investing in? What are we giving ourselves to? What is our ark, as it were? I was listening to an interview with Pat Williams. Some of y'all may know that name, the co-founder, owner of the Orlando Magic NBA team in view of the season's cancellation. And again, this is a big deal. I mean, it's like, what are folk going to do? He was being interviewed, and he's up in years. And they said, well, what do you think about it? He said, I'll tell you what I think about it. I think we need to stay upbeat. That's what I think about it. You know what else? I think we need to live close to God. I think we need to live close to God. He goes, because I'm just concerned about what I see, and I'm concerned about all the fear. And then he went on to quote a former president. He said, you know, the only thing to fear is fear itself. You know, as he was quoting Franklin D. Roosevelt's 1933 inauguration speech. So fear is a pathogen, a bacterium, virus, or other microorganism that can cause disease. Faith is an antibody, a blood protein produced to counteract bacteria, viruses, and foreign substances in the blood. People ask, have you had your flu shot yet? I want to respond, well, have you taken your gospel yet? I mean, you know, I've never had a flu shot in my life. And, you know, maybe I should. I don't know. I just never have. And it's fine. There's nothing wrong with getting a flu shot. I mean, get the flu shot, but don't get the flu shot and then raise walls of worry. Don't raise the worry wall. Hello? Because, again, sometimes I think the worry and the fear can be worse than the actual predicament. Hello? And it's a spirit. And that's why Paul told young Timothy, God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of sound mind. It's asking for permission to come toward you, young Timothy, but refuse it. Reject it. So yeah, do the common sense things. Use wisdom, whatever. But don't raise the worry wall. Raise the assurance wall. Raise your faith wall. There was a great article that came out written by C.S. Lewis 73 years ago about the predicament in his day of the atomic bomb. It just said, look, you know, we're all going to die at some point. You're worrying about the A-bomb, probably just the ramifications of the worry and the fretting is worse than if it ever happens. He goes, I just encourage you, go play with your friends, enjoy your children, you know, throw darts with someone and enjoy life, you know. And so someone wrote an article and said, just substitute coronavirus for the atomic bomb and take the wisdom of C.S. Lewis. But anyway, there is something about that assurance wall and something about that faith wall. Put in the milk and meat of God's word. Build your immune system. I was reading something by Steve Merle. He said, you know, if your first reaction is fear, that's okay, but don't let that be your last reaction. Because when you first hear something, it's like, oh no, and that thing tries to get on you. You know, and then all of a sudden we just have to kind of back up and say, all right, we're people of faith, we're people of God, we have scripture at our hand. You know, how are we to respond? What is our posture and our position? But we can build our immune system. We can build something in these days, in these next couple of weeks. Amen. We can build something. Check your input, double check your meditations, cross check your focus, our focus. Again, for me, it just got to a point, it's like, I don't want to hear another news story. I'm done. Click. How many of you know you got the power over the remote? It's an amazing thing. You just point that bad boy and hit that button. You know what? That thing will go off. You know, every day of the week and twice on Sunday, just click. I hit a saturation point. And I know that the majority of it is real, but I just don't want to get into a Chicken Little spirit to where we're crippled or shut down. So I'm like, I'm saturated. I'm done. Click. I need to change it out. Then we need humor. Certainly we need scripture. And we need just that. We need to medicate on the word of God. Amen. What would God say? So there comes a time where maybe there's just too much social media reporting. And it can just get too much. And those walls of anxiety are being raised. And you know if it's coming on you. You know it when that thing's trying to come on you. But we make a decision to switch gears and change channels. But build your tent of meeting. Don't do nothing. Noah was warned and he built. It wasn't Noah was warned and he was like, yeah, that's bad. It's bad. Did you hear about the rain that's about to come? It's going to rain in a few days. Did you hear? Did you hear? What's it doing in your state? You know, what's it doing in your... Did you hear? Rain's coming. He built. He built. We're not having an issue with the flood. God put his bow in the sky to promise it'll never happen again. We don't need an ark. I believe we need a tent of meeting. I believe the nation needs a tent of meeting. I believe the nation needs a new perspective. I believe the nation needs a word from the Lord. Amen. Wisdom, certainly, but faith. But faith. Build your tent. Build your tent. It's hard for phobias, fears, and anxieties to follow you into that meeting. That meeting is reserved only for two. Only for two. When Moses went into the tent, it was Moses in that tent with God. I mean, even Joshua kind of got around it, you know, and just trying to receive from the residue. He lingered at that tent of meeting. I love Jude 20 that reads, but you, dear friends, what? Do what, dear friends? Build yourselves up in your most holy faith and what? Pray in the Holy Spirit. Come on, Jude was a charismatic right there in black and white, what I'm talking about. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. In the Living Bible paraphrase, it reads, but you, dear friends, must what? Build up your lives ever more strongly upon the foundation of our holy faith, learning to pray in the power and strength of the Holy Spirit. There's a correlation there of building yourselves up and praying in the Holy Ghost. Y'all see that? There's a connection there. There's a connection to being built up and praying in the Spirit. Do you have a prayer language today? If the answer is yes, use it. Someone said, well, I got filled with the Holy Spirit 10 years ago. That was a powerful experience when they prayed for me. And yeah, I received my heavenly prayer language. Have you prayed since? No, but I did get it back then. It's a mighty tool in our arsenal to be used. Strengthen those immunities. Use it. We have choices. You're going to drive somewhere 10 minutes. It's like radio or a tent of meeting. I mean, it's just a choice. To stir ourselves up. Paul had to tell young Timothy, stir up the gift of God, Timothy, that was granted you through the laying on of hands from the presbytery. There was a transference of grace and there were gifts imparted and it's within you. Don't let them grow dormant. Stir it up, Timothy. Create a tent of meeting and see what God might do and what God might say. Create an aura and an atmosphere of faith and give God an opportunity and a chance to speak. Why do people hear God so often at night or early in the morning before waking? Why do people hear God so often in the shower? I kid you not. Because for the first time, we're not maybe doing something or are still enough to receive the communication. But we can strengthen our immunities in this hour and we can help strengthen them to those around us. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:4 that when you pray in the Spirit, you edify yourself. You edify yourself. He said, I pray in tongues more than you all. He said, now in the church, I'd rather you prophesy so that others can be edified, but in your personal devotional life, when you pray in the Holy Spirit, you edify yourself. You're building yourself up. You're giving thanks to the Lord. There's a strengthening within. You see, bad news does not edify. But the Word of God does. And the Holy Spirit does. Therefore, get up in that tent of meeting. See what God might say. You can build a tent anywhere, anytime. You can pitch that tent. I remember as an eighth grader, roughhousing on the playground and breaking my hand and knuckle. And then when I broke it, it went up, this knuckle went up under that other knuckle. And I've done that a couple of times. And so I had to have a cast up to here, and that finger splinted. But I remember being driven to the orthopedics office, and the doctor was getting ready to set it. Now, you know what they do when they set it. They put it back the way it's supposed to be. And so it's not just a real fun fluid thing. And so I was sitting there with my arm out. Bless my mama's heart, her spiritual soul. She said, "Now, son, you know what to think about, don't you?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." And I just, you know what I did? I pitched a tent right there. And I just began to contemplate Isaiah. He will keep in perfect peace he whose mind is stayed on me because he trusts in me. He will keep in perfect peace. So I'm just sitting there with a goofy grin on my face. Just with a goofy grin. And I felt it a little bit, but God was with me and it helped. I think I had some Holy Ghost anesthesia right there in the moment. That's why they say sometimes when people are rear-ended, it's good if you don't see the car coming in your rearview mirror, because then you brace, and they say it's worse if you brace than if you're relaxed. You see? Y'all know the 11th commandment, by the way, is don't sweat it, right? But there's just so much that we bring on to ourselves due to just the foreboding anticipation of things. And so I just sat there in that chair at the doctor's office, just began to think on the Lord, just began to think on him, meditate on him, pitched a tent. I could have it right there in the doctor's office. And God gave peace beyond the circumstance. Again, hear me. And God gave peace beyond the circumstance. Don't let the circumstance hold the winning hand. Don't let that be the trump card. Let the spirit of peace have its rightful passage. But I had to mentally enter that tent. Hello, there's so much that goes on here. I had to mentally enter that tent. Between our earlobes, so much matter, so much warfare. That is the battleground, the mind, you see. I had to mentally enter that tent. I had to fix my meditation upon him. I was building something in that moment. That was my ark. That was my ark. Where do you need to pitch a tent? But you know, after you pitch it, you've got to walk in it. You got to go in. All of Israel watched Moses go into the tent, and Joshua lingered at the entrance. But in the New Testament, we can all go in. It's not just a Moses thing. You know, Moses was the one who went up on the mountain and everyone quaked at the bottom. It was Moses that went into the tent of meeting to receive instruction from God. And his attendant Joshua was there lingering at the entrance. But praise God, in the new covenant, because that curtain has been torn from top to bottom, thank God, we can all go in. It's come one, come all. It's not a special breed of Christian gets to go in and they get the word of the Lord. We can all get the word of the Lord. Remember in Moses' day when they said, "Hey, there are these folks that are prophesying over there. What should we tell them?" Oh, that all God's servants would be prophets. Amen. There's only one mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all priests unto him. We all can hear him. We all can receive him. We all have a seat at the table. Yes, there's a place for those who have special gifts to help, but we are priests unto the Lord, and we deserve and should be there before him to get the download. What might God say? God gave a word to Noah, saved his family. You want to save your family? Get a word from the Lord. Get a word from the Lord. And then, of course, carry it out. You see, Jesus died so that we could have that meeting place. He is that meeting place. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is our way out of the pathogens of life. He is our immunity. Pitch your tent and go in. The psalmist said in Psalm 73, 2 and 16 through 17, the psalmist said, "But as for me, my foot had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold." Ever felt that way before? You're just like, "Dear Lord, any time it's going to come apart." "I had nearly lost my foothold. When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me till I entered the sanctuary of God." In other words, I was in a tailspin. I was vexed. I was perplexed. It was oppressive. I didn't know which end was up until I entered the sanctuary of God. Until I went in to that meeting place. Until I went into that tent and said, "God, what would you say?" I've heard the pundits. I've heard the cries of fear. I've heard the concerns. And yes, there's wisdom. There are protocols. There are action points. But in the midst of that, no one trumps you. Do you have a word? Would you have something to say? Till I entered. I remember once, y'all have heard me mention this before, that years ago when I was actually ministering here in the States, and Elizabeth and the girls were back in Guam, and we would have one of our like church-wide prayer meetings would be on Saturday nights because the worship team practiced then, and we just, while they were there, held everyone there, and then people came because we would have the whole band. It would be, you know, wonderful. But there was a member of the church that brought a friend, a colleague, who had been diagnosed with a brain tumor, and brought her to that prayer meeting to be prayed for. And again, I'm here, Elizabeth is there. And she brought her up to Elizabeth before the meeting had actually started. And the girl was in such pain, she was like hitting her head against, just leaning up against the wall, just doing this. And the member of our church said, "You know, could you pray for her? She's been diagnosed, yada, yada, yada." But she goes, and Elizabeth said, "Yes, we'll pray for her. I'll pray for her. But we're going to worship first. And we're going to pray and praise first." And when we had those meetings, they'd be like an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours sometimes. In other words, yes, I have empathy. Yes, I have compassion. But we're going to build a tent first. We're going to build a tent. Because unless we get God down, we have nothing to give, right? I've got nothing to give you. But I know who does. So they went into the prayer meeting, and they went in and with the worship and the praise and began to magnify God, an extended time of prayer. Then after it was all said and done, then she brought the young lady into my office and began to counsel her. And again, you've heard this story before. I won't go into all the details, but there were some things to confess, some things to renounce, and things to be broken, some forgiveness even on her part. There was even a manifestation that was pretty dramatic right there in my office. But then she came up free, went back to the doctor. They looked at it. We had the report, completely gone. Completely gone. There was a need. It was crippling. And so certainly there'd be people willing to minister and to pray. But the first order of business was to build that tent. And to get up in it. To get up in it. Good things happen. What are we building? What are we building? Pitch your tent and go in it. I love Isaiah 26:3 in the Living Bible. It reads, "He will keep in perfect peace all those who trust in Him, whose thoughts turn often to the Lord." He will keep in perfect peace. He whose mind is set on that, whose thoughts turn often, whose thoughts turn often, whose thoughts turn often. And there's a discipline to that. We can turn it on, we can turn it off. I can will to go into the tent, or I can will to listen to the pundits. I can will to listen to the counsel of God, or I can will to listen to conventional wisdom. I can turn my heart toward the provision of the Lord, or I can turn their heart to what other people are saying. Watch in whom you get counsel from. Make judgments on your news source. Make judgments on those you receive input from. Sometimes we have to judge the counsel that's given. Watch what comes in. Take great attention with what you hear. In the Gospels, it says, give attention to how you hear. That's an interesting description there. Give attention to how you hear. What's the majority of our input? What's the majority of our communication? Do our thoughts turn often to the Lord? In Noah's day, they needed an ark. We don't need an ark. In our day, we need confidence, assurance, trust, peace, hope, perspective, and faith. We build our tent. We build our tent. I want to read over you right now, Psalm 91. This is part of pitching a tent right now, what I'm about to do. This is part of it. This is part of pitching that tent. I'm in the NIV, but you just take this as a declaration over your life and over your family and over your loved ones. Take it as a word spoken over you. Hear it. Enter into it. Psalm 91, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness that we sang about earlier will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, yea, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is your refuge, then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because you love him, says the Lord, he will rescue you. He will protect you, for you acknowledge his name. You will call upon him, and he will answer you and be with you in trouble. He will deliver you and honor you and with long life satisfy you and show you his salvation. Amen? We just pitched a tent. That's what it looks like. And when we pitch that tent, and when we go in, something in the spirit shifts. Just like putting on our praise, we can't be gripped with fear and be emitting and giving off praise at the same time. It's going to be a choice, like which direction to go into. And again, the point is not to foo-foo the warning. We get it, but we're not going to just park there and live there and concede any more than Noah just conceded. There's going to be a whole lot of water coming on the earth in a few days. Whole lot of water. God gave him a word, and he built. So I want to encourage us in this season to build something. What are we building? Build something. My encouragement, pitch a tent. Get the word of the Lord. Also, I want to encourage you, find someone a bit shut down and bring them up. Speak faith. Minister life. Amen? I'm believing God's going to have the last word. There's going to be a silver lining around this whole dang thing. Hello? And I believe there are going to be people that are going to turn to the Lord. God will use anything. God will just use just the bare bones of truth to attract. He'll also use crisis. He'll also use crisis. I mean, just like revival, we can have it on the platter of passion or we can have it on the platter of ruin. Which one do we want? I say, give me passion. I don't want something to happen to where I've got to just start going after God. See, if we're wise and smart, we go after the cross, So when the emergency comes, we're prepared. Most people, a crisis hits and they go after the cross. What would be smarter is let's just be in the practice of going after the cross. So when something happens, we're already in a rhythm of going to God. Some, when the bad news comes, they revert to form. But there is no form that takes them to God. Does that make sense? I mean, it's hard for someone to really press in and get a hold of God when it's foreign to them and they're not used to it and it feels clunky. And it's only until you start something do you get in that rhythm where the wheels are greased, you say. But if we'll create our form now, not just because of an impending crisis that may come, but just because we love God and it's just smart to get up in His face. Fasting many times in the Old Covenant was done due to crisis. Fasting in the New Covenant many times is done just because of love sickness. I just want more of God. There's no crisis. There's no emergency. There's no issue. I just love God. And I'm just going to put my flesh down a little bit to get more. I just want to press. I want to pitch a tent and go a little bit deeper. So then when things come, it's amazing how you're equal to the issue, as it were. There's a greater fire on the inside. And did the scriptures not tell us that greater is He that is within us than he that is within the world? Does the greater one not dwell within? Are there things that happen and casualties that happen? Certainly they do. We don't want to be glib. Certainly we do. And we don't have an answer for everything. But what we can do is double down and just say, but as for me and my house, I'm going to build a tent. I'm going to build a tent. I'm going to get me some word. I'm going to find me some accelerated prayer. I'm going to find God. And then you know what else I'm going to do? I'm going to help somebody else. This could be a great opportunity to minister. Amen. Let's just take another moment here just to pray. Again, on the National Day of Prayer. And we're going to just encourage you to receive communion at home, minister to one another in families, and roommates can minister one to the other, minister it to yourself. But we just want to just take a moment again, because it's been decreed from the highest seat of power in the land, we just want to be given to it.